For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. Recent polling indicates that a high percentage of the American people are unhappy with the work Congress has done in recent years. The situation creates an interesting contrast with the work done during the Civil War era by the 37th U.S. Congress, which some historians call the most productive Congress in the nation's history. Dan Modlin has more in this report.
The 37th Congress got underway in August of 1861. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies says it's remarkable how much legislation that group managed to pass.
In our day and age of stalemated Congresses, stalemated government, taking a look at the 37th Congress, which served roughly from August 1861 through March 1863, this Congress is just amazing in terms of what it accomplishes. Of course, it tells you what can happen as well when you have a supermajority, which the Republicans did have in both houses of Congress. But one has to remember that the Republican Party at this point is still a somewhat fragile coalition of old Whigs, WHIG, the old Whig Party members, War Democrats, as they're called, Democrats that support the war effort, and then other individuals who identify themselves with the Union or a Union Party. And so it's a coalition, but it accomplishes an enormous amount of legislation in such stark contrast to what Americans have become used to over the past 10 years or so, or even 20 years.
Dr. LaFantasy points out that secession contributed to the supermajority.
When the Southern Democrats exit Congress and secede along with their states, this leaves a Northern Congress in existence that can get through, pass the sometimes very controversial legislation, but they can do it because the Southern Democrats are no longer there.
Dr. Jack Thacker of the WKU History Department says several of the bills passed by the 37th Congress have had long-lasting effects.
In terms of things that really affected the nation over enormously, they passed in May of 1862 the Homestead Act, which allowed 160 acres of public land. As American citizen could get 160 acres of public land, and it was theirs if they could improve what would they call prove it, that is, live on it for 5 years and improve it. Now, the interesting thing about this act is there is no discrimination for sex. So that means if you're a husband and wife, you can get 320 acres of land. This is one of the first acts that we passed in Congress that there was no distinction between sexes. And then they followed this on July the 2nd, 1862, with the Morrell Act. Now, this plays a big role because what this does is it creates the land-grant colleges. Later on, they will make it a requirement when they create the ROTC programs that you have an ROTC program, and it's mandatory for the first 2 years. Then, during the Vietnam War, that will be changed and it will no longer be required. But then, thirdly, they passed the Pacific Railroad Act, which was on July the 1st, 1862. This allowed public land 6,400 acres per mile for the construction of Transcontinental Railroad and loans guaranteed by the government of $16,000 a mile on the plains and $48,000 a mile in the mountains. As a result of that, the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads were funded, and they were completed in 1869, just 4 years after the end of the war. And several other transcontinental railroads are built under the same law. And then they passed the National Banking Act. And a lot of people don't realize this, but the National Banking Act sets up a national bank very similar to the Federal Reserve, which issues currency. Up until this is the first national currency. Prior to this, state banks issued currency based on the amount of reserves they had of specie, which was gold and silver coins. They would loan money out in paper money based on their holdings of gold and silver U.S. coins. And that was basically the money everybody used in the United States until this time. This is the first national currency.
And Dr. LaFantasy says the 37th Congress also passed legislation to deal with those who try to defraud the government.
An astounding act that this 37th Congress passed, and it's something that still affects today. It's called the False Claims Act. It's also known more popularly as the Lincoln Law. And what this act does is it imposes a liability on persons and companies, typically federal contractors, who defraud government programs. The law includes in it a provision that allows people who are not affiliated with the government to file actions on behalf of the government. In other words, if you see the government being defrauded, you're the one who can bring the claim, the false claim against this corrupt contractor. And this was informally, or now informally, has been known as whistleblowing. I mean, this is essentially an act to promote whistleblowing, to find out how much corruption existed in federal contracts at the time of the Civil War. Persons filing under the act stand to receive a portion, usually about 15 to 25% of any recovered damages. Claims under the law, because this law is still in effect, claims under the law have typically involved health care, the military, of course, and other government spending programs. It was amended in 1986 to actually make it more effective, and boy, did it become effective. The act has enabled the government to recover nearly $22 billion between just 1987 and 2008. But here's a perfect example of what this 37th Congress achieved that still has lasting. This act is still in effect, and it comes into play as the numbers between 1987 and 2008 indicate that people are still coming forward, and they also collect, they still collect a percentage of the revenue for damages that's recovered.
Dr. Thacker says in some ways the accomplishments of the 37th Congress are even more impressive in light of the fact that the Civil War was underway.
In fighting the war, they admitted West Virginia as a state, suspended habeas corpus, or authorized Lincoln to suspend habeas corpus right before they went out of session on March the 3rd, 1863. They abolished slavery in the District of Columbia and began conscription.
The 37th Congress was in session from August of 1861 until March of 1863. This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.